Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Cosmic Warrior, and it is the 13th day of the Yellow Seed Wave Spell, and it is the spectral moon day 18. It's the end of the Yellow Cosmic Warrior day, and that means it's the end of the Yellow Seed Wave Spell, and I'll kind of wrap that up, but be readying you for Red Earth, which is imminent. It's immediate, and it's deeply connected to Yellow Seed, so there's a real seamlessness between these two wave spells, which is part of the ease of this juncture of the Zolk'in. We switch to Blue Monkey Genesis at 131 days. The second half of the Zolk'in begins with a Blue Monkey wave spell, and there's an immediate sense of things being lighter. I mean, I'm not going to say easier, but like less serious, less grappling with some of the deepest challenges to a human egoic struggle. Blue Monkey doesn't have that. It kind of laughs in the face of that like a child would, or a child innately has an undeveloped ego. We get to jump backwards into that simpler experience, and then we move into the Yellow Seed wave spell, where we are, you know, back pre-childhood, pre-primate. We're in plant life, we're in the seed of ourselves, and all I can establish after paying attention somewhat these last 13 days, it's just like, once again, the Yellow Seed is not something I can cognate and like deliver like a clear explanation of. Instead, it's a feeling state that is less cognitive, so looser, really sensitive to nature and weather and light and anything you can see that plants respond to in their simplest, most sensitized way. That's our way when we're in the Yellow Seed time. But again, that's not an ego struggle. That's maybe we have to surrender our ego to becoming a plant, but the wave spell kind of delivers that for us without effort. And so we've had these 13 days of being less analytical, I think, being super sensitive to weather. Just like, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's hot and then it's cold, you know, just really saying it aloud in my head, like, well, this weather is something I'm really noticing, very intricate responses to temperature. And so I loved that because it's like being a little seedling, a little sprout. The portals are, you know, the seminal part of the Yellow Seed wave spell, so we can kind of split our attention from like, what is Yellow Seed, to what did the portals do for us? The one thing I want to kind of finish with in terms of the Yellow Seed concept is that you can pretty much use the vernacular of like, a seed is the beginning of something that's going to come into fruition eventually or later. And we are seeding things that will grow into bloom or grow into grandeur, harvest,
And also, we are catching glimpses of things in our seed state that without any effort, more like an augury, we get a little glimpse of what's coming in the yellow seed time, because it's like in that little dense protein nugget of a seed is the whole story. The whole eventual unfolding story is there in the origin point of a seed. So in the yellow seed time, we can feel these future stories compressed in, you know, in our experience and the synchronicity of what happens for us, and be like, oh, well, that's coming. Maybe you could just say to yourself right now, in the aftermath of yellow seed, like, what was it that I was really sure was coming? Because I had a couple of things where I'm like, oh, that'll show up when it's time. You know, I didn't have doubt or fear or worry or some kind of demand that anything come faster. I was just like, had a clear rumination, like, well, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. That seems like a really good yellow seed in inhabitation to take over. So the portals are behind us. Yellow Cosmic Warrior was the first day that wasn't a portal. I don't sort of felt like residual portal energy. I don't know. Can I think about, was there a door in the day where there was a wall? I'm like, yeah, for sure. For sure. So I think maybe we get like the portal fever has some reverb, and we can stay in some of this place of the portal. But honestly, we'll talk more about it in a minute, but I honestly think that's more the spectral moon delivering for us. So, but the portals that were 10 portals in a row, starting at White Electric World Bridger and finishing with Blue Crystal Eagle, those 10 days, maybe they took us somewhere. I mean, you know, maybe they served in the end as having one dynamic portal that you could see or sense some change about. I definitely felt that something changed for me. But, you know, here's what I think it is. I think it's just that I got really into being a plant. I mean, not walking around thinking like, I'm a plant, look at me. I use, you know, it's just more that I really dropped into the lack of hyperbrain activity. And that felt like such a change that when the wave spell ends, I might be not as changed as I feel right now. Because I just changed into a seed, and then I'm going to have to change into the next thing, the next tribe. So it's a change, but it can change back. Who knows which it is. Let's see, yellow seed. Oh, I guess I'm going to stop there and talk about other things. There's always something will sneak in where there's a lot of aspects of every tribe. They stack up. I mean, the analogies, you know, I love allegory. I love little mythologies. I like everything to have multiple meanings, and I collect meanings about each of these tribes. So I guess the only thing that I could throw out there is sexuality is heightened in yellow seed. And, you know, the kind of like spring fever feeling we get, birds and the bees, I think that probably is stirred and coming out of quarantine for those who changed their socializing and the dating scene or the accidental falling in love opportunities. I feel like there is this momentum that came right through in this time, sort of synchronically and accidentally, of like checking people out again, trying to aim closer towards intimacy after a lot of separation. All right. Goodbye, yellow seed. Not a tortured wave spell. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just like, I think we can experience some of the wave spells from prior, from the red dragon genesis. It's kind of like whoa, super intense and hard. I'm got wrecked here along the way. And I don't know. I don't see that happening in the yellow seed time. So red earth. Red earth is a good one. Red earth is a great wave spell. Red earth days are cool, but red earth wave spell has this promise based on my experience. We will change by the end of red earth. And I think we change with every wave spell, but red earth is about evolving. So there will be something and you can't pick what it is. Like, you know what? I really want to evolve past this part of my life, this way of being. No, but maybe, but we don't get to choose. We can watch and see what comes through in the first couple of days. But by the end, something will have evolved, because that's what red earth is about. It's about evolving. It is the allegory of the earth moving through the solar system. It is not the allegory of the earth being a dense rock that doesn't really change. You know, like, earth is the least mutable of all the elements. That's not what red earth is about at all. Red earth is about the way the earth is both on its trajectory, on its orbital, and so it's cruising, it's always moving, it's moving really fast. So it's changing scenery. Red earth is when you want to go for a cruise in your car or on an airplane to imitate the action that our own planet takes in space. My dad's a red earth person, and he showed me what I find is true of so many red earth people, that they either like biking, cycling, or road trips, or traveling the world, and maybe all. So, but red earth, when we pass through it, will probably pull us towards appetites for travel. And that makes sense, right? So we're set free. We're allowed to go places. So there would be a lot of momentum to be like, I am doing it. I am going there. I'm taking this weekend and I'm traveling to this other place. That's what I want to do now. And then the other thing about red earth is that it is honoring how alive the planet is. When we think of it as, you know, really stable and rocky, you know, dense rock, shale, it's actually a time to remember how molten it is and seismic, because the hieroglyph is a picture of the earthquake, and you can check it out. Check out the little hieroglyph, and you'll see this like zigzag that is the earth having its shakedown. And so red earth is also about the ceremonies that come from ancient times and are, of course, still in existence in modern times, what we would call like an indigenous ceremony, where the chanting or the drumming or the dancing is stirring up that seismic energy from within the planet. And you know, where the planet doesn't deliver earthquakes on demand, when we move our bodies with that kind of pulsing fever, then we create the earthquake within ourselves and within our community. So it's very heavily ceremonial, the red earth moment, which I think is more obvious when you have a red earth day. So you can see, we'll see together how it works out in the red earth wave spell, if it's like one long ceremony or not, or a bunch of little ones, or a couple. I think I've covered every option. It won't be none. It'll be something. Think about it when we go through the days, not the wave spells, red earth, white mirror, blue storm, yellow sun, that quartet, red, white, blue, yellow is really significant. It is the ultimate arrival point. So we have ceremony on red earth, we have sacrifice on white mirror, we have transformation on blue storm, and we have enlightenment on yellow sun. And that's always how we finish the cycle of 20 tribes, the creation myth that is described there, leads to ascension. It leads to the sun god. And we're starting the Red Earth Wave Spell, but we're also going through those 4 days as we start the Red Earth Wave Spell. So that's cool. You can pay attention. I was definitely caught up in that when I was a young scholar. When I first followed the calendars, I was interested in how feverish and transformational it got. Red Earth, White Mirror, Blue Storm, Yellow Sun. Those were the series of days that stood out as really having a plot for me. Like, oh no, there's some activity that's connected. The spectral moon, let's hit that now. It's really awesome because I feared, and I probably proclaimed, just to set everyone up with expectations that were maybe appropriate or maybe a little nihilistic, so you could now feel some relief, that the spectral moon is really hard because we have to let go of everything we've accomplished, everything that we've kind of spent 10 moons, that's 280 days, moving towards a summit experience. And then we have 28 days when we come right down the mountain, sort of flying, fleeing, falling off the mountaintop. So it can be daunting because you're like, wait, I just got all this together and it sounds like it's going to blow up, like a bomb is going to hit it. But it's not really like that. It's more about that everything we created still exists, but it exists as available for others to enjoy. It's not mine. Mine. I did it. It's mine. Look at what I did. Instead, we lose a grip of it. And we created it, so it exists, but we lose control of it, and it goes where it wants to go. And it could be shared with others. We could still have it, but others are also participatory. And then the great news is that that's the same gesture is happening for everyone, so we get to benefit from other people's creations that are now spilling over into our space in this chaotic upheaval of a wave crashing. And that sounds really literal, you know, like I made, you know, me and my endless building project, I made a big house and now everyone's enjoying the house. And I mean, that's just too literal. Although I could probably say that my neighbors are affected, you know, like, oh, I'm spilling my beauty over into their, you know, for them to behold as I am enterprising here. But rather than being literal, you can just feel it like, oh, a consciousness. Like, we don't get to keep everything we make as ours. We make things and we give them away. They're sort of taken from our grip so that we learn how to let go. That's the gesture of spectral, is learning how to be gracious, learning how to release our grip, our hold, our control. It happens for us so that we can be educated about how it's actually really noble and liberating. So I feel here in the third week in the West where the big action happens that so far I'm like, okay, this is great. I feel really liberated. I feel like a lot of release. Some things are disappearing from my consciousness that I thought about the entire 280 days, the 10 moons, and I'm not thinking about them now. And I would say that rather than it being like a clean sweep, everything's gone, tidal wave took it away, it's much more that I'm just in a mix where I don't have to think about anything. There's the liberation, release, the dissolving means that there's this natural unraveling, and it isn't a time to build a bunch of thoughts, plans, you know, hold on. So I'm letting go, and there goes, you know, the person that I thought about for a long, long time. There goes those plans that I have been putting in place for a long, long time, and I like it. I like what's happening. really do. I truly, without going, it's the spectral moon, so I feel this way. I caught myself today being like, I don't know, I just feel so much more free than I did 4 weeks ago. I went through a really hard time. It was, I think, in the solar moon, but the planetary moon, it was still really hard. It was really immovable. Like, it was something that was sort of stuck and solidified in the planetary tone, that being kind of what the planetary tone is. Things are manifested. They are physicalized. They are, you know, come into reality, but it's denser. And I mean, I just had to get through, of course, all those wave spells I talk about. There was stuff to learn, and there was challenge. And right now, I don't feel it the same way. And I think last podcast, I try to remember and remind you, especially as we are coming closer to the end of the year, that it's been a blue lunar storm year. It still is, obviously, that part of the spectral release is going to be releasing us from some of the intensity of this polarized lunar tone and the, you know, really, I mean, what all the words that I can use for blue storm, I mean, it's a cataclysmic, I mean, a storm is just shaking everything up, and it's constantly so in a blue storm year. It's a year-long storm. And so in the spectral time, I think some of the depth, intensity, volume is abating of both the lunar tone and the blue storm tribe. And that's good. This year, it has to be remembered, you know, as the same as 1968 turning to 1969, just to give like credence to how powerful 2020, 2021 has been for us in humanity, and starting in the white magnetic wizard year, which started in July of 2019, just that there really is a obvious synchronization of this new 13-year wave spell with what we have globally experienced around the pandemic and everything, you know, vibrating with that, whether it's Black Lives Matter or overthrowing Trump to the degree that we did and then to the degree that we haven't. All of that is as loud and historic and challenging, societally challenging, as the late 60s. And I just, at least for the people that listen to this podcast regularly, I mean, you should know, we should know that it's a 52-year cycle, and that 1968 into 69 was blue lunar storm. Like, that should be on your minds a lot of the time, even if, you know, it's 0.1% of just, maybe that's too big of a percent, 0.001% of the population of the world would know that. I mean, I think I still don't have enough zeros in my number, but not many people care. It's not real for that many people, or it's just not known. But you know, because I'm telling you, and I think that's a really good thing to remember. And one of the things I'll just share is that I grew up in Marin County I was born in late 68, and I grew up in Marin County in the 70s, and it was pretty intense. It was just like, I didn't really have a good childhood in that milieu, even though I have a lot of respect and gratitude for the counterculturists that changed the culture, you know, were trying to move it in a different direction and succeeded. And it was painful, though, for a lot of us kids who were sort of hardly parented. So I have a really clear energy memory sense of the 70s, which are to come, like as we replicate in our 52-year cycle that decade. We'll be doing that really immediately, pretty soon, the next year. And think of that, the 70s, as being this long extended part of the White Wizard wave spell of 13 years. I love history, and I love connecting my own teaching to history that I already studied in school and kind of felt fascinated with and retained. So that comes in here sometimes. And then I wanted to mention, maybe I did already, that I live right by a prison. I guess it's a federal prison. Maybe it's a state prison, San Quentin. And so, you know, there's a lot of barbed wire and fencing, even when I'm just walking my dogs in the neighborhood. And I was walking my dogs right up to the fence line, which is not like where prisoners are. It's just outlying meadows, but it's still got the barbed wire fence. And like 20 feet away was someone's pot garden. And I was just thought that was so badass that we've come so far. And I don't smoke pot. That is not something I enjoy at all. But I do enjoy that it's legal to the extent that people can grow it 20 feet from the prison grounds. And that's because of what happened in 1968 and onward. I feel that's evidence, and that's a real red earth kind of reflection. Like, things do change. There's this tragedy, of course, that I have to mention here, even if it's not Mayan astrology, that there are people in San Quentin serving life sentences for dealing weed. So we haven't really come full circle. But I liked that. And I was also at listening to the iterations of the Grateful Dead here in Marin County, now that people are playing live music again. There was people were buying pot plants from the back of a car in the parking lot. And I thought that was really, really sweet too, thinking about how members of the Grateful Dead had threats of going to prison all along their tours over and over again, and how free we are of that kind of confinement now. And of course, all of this relates to the yellow seed wave spell. This is plant life synchronicity that populated my yellow seed time. In terms of the next couple of days, we will have red magnetic earth on Thursday and then white lunar mirror on Friday, and it'll be a lunar day and a lunar year, just in case you want to keep tracking how that all matters to you. The lunar tone, when it's got like a reiterated facet, and then it's a white mirror day. So I would say white lunar mirror is kind of might take us back in time to some, it's a doubling of pretty challenging energy, the lunar tone and the white mirror day. I love white mirror. But I'm just saying, you know, when I'm trying to give you a little heads up, like, don't get too cocky. Or I really believe with natural time, i.e. following Mayan astrology, that humility and cautiousness, like not cautiousness, like try to avoid things, but cautiousness meaning patience, watchfulness, wakefulness are the ways to anticipate potentially being caught in these vortices that are hard on human ego and will. I just had like a kind of breakdown in my recording software, so I stopped and started again. And as I was hearing myself recording, I'm recording over last episode, and I already talked about pot being legalized, so sorry. But that's because of yellow seed. That's not because I am insane or redundant or inconsiderate. I just am drawn into the whole power of the yellow seed wave spell, and it was important to twice address how pot has become legalized in 52 years. I was in the middle of telling you, just so you know then, that of course we had Blue Electric Storm on Saturday and then Yellow Self-Existing Sun on Sunday, and I'll be talking to you again then. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.